Awesome. Hey, guys. It's so exciting to get to be here and share my story. So I was asked to share my testimony. I'll start by introducing myself. So my name's Ashley Schreibeis. I am Joe's wife. It'll be 5 years next week. Woo-woo. Yeah. Yep. Exciting. And I'm actually from Texas. And so I've been living here for 5 years since we got married. I am a wife and a mom to two little boys. You've probably seen them running around or heard them yelling. So two toddler boys, 3.5 and 1.5, and they're super fun. So those are kind of the main hats that I wear. I do photography as well, like Trace. And I've worn a lot of different hats. I've been a teacher 2 times. I've taught preschool and kindergarten in the Dominican Republic. I taught high school Spanish up here at Petra Academy. I've also worked in the corporate world as an assistant to an executive. So kind of been all over the place, but currently wife and mama. So I'll start with my childhood. I won't go too much into it, but I grew up in Texas in a town about the size of Bozeman. So it was like 32,000 when I was growing up, and it was outside of Austin, Texas. And I grew up, when I think about my childhood, I picture myself running around the neighborhood with my friends and my siblings, making forts and exploring. So we really had just a fun, really pretty easy childhood. We did go to church as a kid. We chose a church based on the kindergarten program that they offered. I would not say that I grew up in a believing home. I grew up in a church-going home. But that's because everybody that I knew went to church. So everybody goes to church on Sunday. We all check the box, and then you kind of do whatever you want the rest of the week. And so that's kind of, that's the church culture that I knew and understood. So I don't remember hearing the gospel clearly for many years, and I'll get there. And I remember learning some little songs, but never really understood, really what church was about. In junior high, so I did have all my friends went to church, just like we did. And in junior high, I went on a mission trip with a different church, just because all my friends were going on this mission trip. And we went to Nashville, Tennessee, and we were doing a little VBS. And there was a gal, she was from a different church, and she was like, Ashley, come here. This little girl, she wants to pray and ask Jesus into her heart. And I was like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about, but sure. Which is funny, because I was trying to teach kids about the Bible, but I had no idea what she was even talking about. So so I go over there, and she has this, the girl about my age, so I was probably 13 at the time. She has this little girl who's probably 6, pray with her. And she says this prayer, and this little girl repeats the prayer, and it was all over. I'm watching the 13-year-old girl just like sob, and the 6-year-old girl, I'm just watching her. She just looked so confused. She was like, what? I mean, she's kind of like looking at this girl like, why are you crying? This is weird. And I was thinking the same thing, like, this is super weird. What's happening? And then afterwards, she was like, you're saved. And this little girl's like, okay, can I go home? Because it was like the end of VBS for the day. And so she like runs off and goes home. And I was like, what just happened? First of all, what is being saved? And what was that prayer that was so like weird? And I think I'm just as confused as that little girl looked. And so I went and asked one of my girlfriends, who at the time I thought was kind of the most spiritually mature of my friends. And she was like trying to explain what salvation was, but it was so confusing to me because I'd never heard that term. So I'd been going to church my whole life. I'd never heard the word saved. And I just didn't get it. I was like, okay, I have no idea what happened, but that was weird and confusing. So fast forward to a couple years later, probably 2-ish years later, I went to a summer camp with some of my friends, and I was just going because camp's awesome, right? I mean, you got blobs, you have all sorts of fun things. So I was like, I'm just going to go yeah, I'm going to go with my friends for a week. And at camp, so this is probably, I think it was the summer before I started high school, the second to last night at camp, they did like a cross night where they clearly present the gospel. And that is the first time that I remember ever hearing the gospel clearly presented. And I really started to understand that evening my own sin. And I remember, you know that song, it's like, I'm not going to sing it because you guys don't want that, but it's like, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon the cross. You sing that like over and over and over again. Well, I remember singing that line over and over and over again until I was like sobbing. And I was like, oh, I'll never understand how much that costs. And that was because of my sin. Which reminds me of that, the verse in Philippians 2, where it talks about Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And I just remember that was just so profound to me that Christ came, humbled himself, and he died on the cross for my sin. And I truly understood that I had sinned against a holy God. And I don't know if that was like the moment that I was saved, but that is when I remember understanding what the gospel was. And so at cross night, they like turn off all the lights in camp. So it's, you know, it's all dark and you can just see the stars. And then they ask you to just kind of go away, not like not pray a prayer, but just like get away and consider. You can pray if you want to, but consider kind of what you've heard. And and I just remember crying out to the Lord and being like, thank you. I don't know what to pray, but yeah, I was so humbled and recognized, my sin and that I wanted to follow him. So through high school, I was trying to figure out what that looked like. I'd never heard the term sanctification either, or like, and nobody really talked about growing in Christ-likeness. So I was just trying to figure it out. So throughout high school, I was, church-wise, I started working at a church. I would attend youth group at a different church. I would go to Sunday night service over here at this college church because I was just trying to like soak it all in and try and figure this whole thing out. And I can't think of one person in my life that I could have looked to as like, as an example, except my counselors. There were two counselors at camp, and I was like, you know, their life looks different because of this Jesus thing. Like, they really believe this, and they live differently. They pray about everything, and they're like always reading the Bible, and like, that was so different than anything I'd ever saw, which was a lot of like box checking, right? Like, yeah, I went to church, so now let's just go do whatever we want to do. And I just. Side note here, I just feel like you guys have such a sweet opportunity being in this church. And then like, I'm looking around the room I'm like, you guys have the Montoyas and the Larsons. Like, are you kidding me? The Grubbs, like you guys, this is like so like such a blessing. And it's so rich. Like, man, if I could say one thing, it'd be just don't squander it. Just don't squander the time. Soak it up. Like, all of this, there's just so much rich truth to be learned and so much growing to do in this season. And man, I would just encourage you guys to soak it in. I was trying to learn and I didn't know what that looked like. And then I was also simultaneously, I had so many distractions too in growth. And I feel like it left me immature for a long time. So I was really, really interested in my social life and I was busy every night of the week and doing something on all the weekends. I had a boyfriend for my last 3 years of high school. So that was distracting and not helpful. I just feel like I was just so split and kind of wanting the world, but also wanting to figure this whole thing out. Yeah, and I really think, sorry, I have kind of a rough outline. Otherwise, you guys all be like, story. So in college, I think for the first couple years even, I was still pretty immature in my faith until we started attending. One of my best girlfriends, she had brain surgery our first week of college, and she became a believer kind of through that. And then we, later in college, we ended up being roommates and got more serious about our faith. So we started attending a Bible teaching church regularly and started really growing. And then the Lord took me to the mission field, and that was when I was in the Dominican Republic. And I learned a lot there about prayer and what it meant to really depend on the Lord, and started learning about God's character. And coming home from the DR, I was able to take some systematic theology and hermeneutics classes. The Lord just kind of provided those things, and so I grew in my love for learning about the Lord. And that was right about the time I met Joe, and he continues to push me to, just to grow and learn. I feel like one thing I'm currently learning right now is I've been thinking a lot about time and how we are all, our days are numbered, right? The Lord says our days are numbered, and he knows the number of our days, but we don't. And so I've just been thinking a lot about how I'm spending my time and how I've spent my time. So looking back, thinking through junior high, thinking through high school, how did I spend that time? Did I spend that time well? Were there things that I would have done differently had I known what I know now? And I'm thinking about time now as a wife and a mom, and how should my days look when I'm, when I'm home. And anyway, I would encourage you guys in that same light to think through, just how you're spending your time. I mean, are you loving the Lord and loving your neighbor with the time you've been given and the people you've been given in your life? So anyway, guys, thanks for letting me come up and just share a little bit. I'm totally open to questions. I'm an open book, but I will pass this on to my husband so he can share too. But thank you, guys.
As my wife said, my name is Joe. I'm on staff at the church here. It's fun for me to be here. I love being able to come and speak to you all. Tonight, I wanted to start by thinking about fool's gold. I don't know if how many of you know what fool's gold is. I'm sure most of you maybe even found a piece of fool's gold in a river. You know fool's gold. It looks like gold. It's a rock, and it's shiny, and for a lot of times you'll pick it up and say, oh, this looks a lot like gold. You'll see a big rock, and you'll say, oh, this looks gold. But you know here in Montana that most of the time when you find something that looks like gold, it's not really gold. It's fool's gold. And there's some ways that if you know what true gold looks like, you'll be able to tell the difference. Fool's gold versus gold. And in the same way, I want you to think about what is a true Christian? In the same way, fool's gold is something that looks like gold, but it's not really gold. And in the same way, since I became a follower of Jesus Christ, I've just really wanted to know, what is a true Christian? What's a real Christian? I mean, that's just really important, because lots of people say they're Christians, but does that mean they're a Christian? Just because they say they're a Christian. And I remember I lived in the country of Turkey for a while, overseas, and the country of Turkey was full of Muslims. It was like 99.9% Muslims, so people who are not Christians. And they would say, you know, all you Americans are Christians, and I don't want to be a Christian because I don't want to live like Britney Spears. And I was like, no, Christians don't live like Britney Spears. I'd say Britney Spears is not a Christian. I've heard her say she's a Christian. And I was like, that's just so confusing, because she cannot be a Christian for how she lives her life. But that's kind of made me think, okay, what does it mean to be a Christian? Can you just say you're a Christian and voila, you're a Christian? How do you become a Christian? What does it really mean to be a Christian? How can you detect a real Christian? How can you pick a Christian out from a crowd? And so this has been something that I've really thought a lot about since becoming a Christian. You see, because I grew up in the church, like many of you, probably most of you come to Wednesday night church every week, probably because your parents encourage you to and say you should go, and maybe some of you want to go and say, yeah, I look forward to coming. It's fun being with other people. Probably some of you don't really like coming, and your parents kind of make you come, and that was me. My parents would force me to come. I was involved with Awana in junior high and high school ministry. I always came regularly. You see, when I was a little kid, I was 5 years old, in the church I grew up in, whenever someone would really talk about something scary, like the place of hell, I would get scared, and I would do what most kids do, like, well, I don't want to go to hell. That sounds terrible. So what do I got to do to not go to hell? And at the church I grew up in as well, you need to accept Jesus into your heart. And they would say, Jesus died for you so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. And so pray this prayer, much like Ashley said, this kind of encounter she had. And so I remember being 4, 5, 6 years old. Every time I start to think about hell or get worried about that, I would say a prayer just to make sure. And if I got worried again, I'd do it again. Better be safe than sorry. And I was happy to say that prayer as many times as I needed. And that's what I thought it meant being a Christian was. It's just, have you prayed that prayer? Oh, good, you've prayed it? Good, you're a Christian. And so that's how I live my life. And in junior high and high school, the thing I really loved most was sports. I really loved basketball in particular. And I thought, if I can just become a professional basketball player, my life will be great. I mean, wouldn't that be the best thing ever, being a professional basketball player? And so every night, at my house in Billings, I would go outside and I'd play basketball. Every night I was playing basketball outside. That's just what my life was. And I would go and I'd watch like older kids play basketball. I thought, that is just great. I want to do that. I'd go to the Metra and watch the high school boys basketball teams play basketball. That's what I want to do. And so that was kind of my goal in my life. I just want to be the best basketball player I can be. I started into high school. I started to play football as well and really loved that. And I thought, okay, as I got into high school, as a freshman, I just thought, I want to be the best basketball player, best football player in this school. That's my life. And so I'm going to do whatever I can do to make sure that happens. And so I worked really hard. We had a weight room in our high school. And so I would work out and lift weights every day. I was crazy about that. I would play basketball. And I remember as a freshman, I made the junior varsity team in my high school, which was a big deal. And it was kind of like I was the only freshman to make the junior varsity basketball team, and that was a big deal. And kind of I had all these older friends, and it was kind of like I was new to the school, but I had a popularity from basketball. And so I, as a freshman, I thought, if I can just be the captain of the football team and the captain of the basketball team, I will have arrived. I mean, that'll be the greatest thing. And so I just set my mind to do that. And all the time, I was a good kid, you know, because I knew that if I started getting into things like drinking and drugs, I wouldn't go very far in basketball and football, because I'd seen other guys do that. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. So if I want to accomplish my goal, I need to keep my life clean, and I can't make those bad decisions. And so all the time I was attending church, I was a good kid. You could look at my life and say, yeah, Joe's a good Christian boy. He's a really good basketball player, and he doesn't, you know, he's not involved in any trouble. So that was my life growing up through. So my senior year came, and I got what I wanted. I was the captain of the basketball team. I was the captain of the football team. I had colleges sending me letters, recruiting me to play football and basketball, and I thought, this is just great. But at about that time in my life, I began to say, you know what, this is not as cool as I used to think it was. You know, I thought this would be much better when I achieved these things. I just thought I would, like, this was the ultimate end in life, was to be these things. And I started to pursue other things. Just the desire to be a good kid so that I wouldn't not be a bad football player or a bad basketball player, that wasn't a strong enough reason to keep me out of a lot of sin. And so I started to experiment in different sin, and started to get involved with the wrong crowd in high school. And this led into my early college years. And I thought, as I came to MSU, because I got recruited to play football here, I quickly found out that I was not tall enough to play basketball in the college, unfortunately. So I thought, okay, football, second best choice. And When I came up to MSU, I thought, finally, I'm away from my parents. I've been living my life like at the demand of my parents my entire life. They told me when to go to church, and I would go, and everything I did was based around them, and now I'm at college, and I'm free. I don't have to do what they tell me to do anymore, so I'm just going to do what I want. Sure, I'm a Christian, so I'll go to church here and there, but my life was really just about myself. I just really thought, now I'm free, and I'm going to have as much fun as I possibly can. And I'm going to just do whatever I want. And my parents, they're 2 hours away in Billings. They don't need to know what I'm doing. I'm just going to have fun. And so I'm still going to go to church, but on Friday night, I would go out drinking and do sinful things that I knew were wrong. But I just said, I'm just going to do these things because I want to have fun. I've been good for the past 18 years, and I don't really want to do that anymore. I'm having more fun. And then if, you know, Sunday morning rolled around and I thought, yeah, it'd be good for me to go to church, I'd do that, you know. And sometimes I remember being a football player, I'd get recognized at church, being on the Bobcat football team. It'd be like, I was kind of like a celebrity, and so it was kind of cool to come to church and be known for being a Bobcat football player. But for the most part, my life did not really look like a Christian outside I was there on Sunday mornings. And this all carried on until my sophomore year. And you see, my sophomore year, I met some people. I got invited to this Christian group on campus, and I met some Christians who were different than every other Christians my age that I'd met before. Because these Christians, they were weird, in my opinion, because they loved reading the Bible. And I was like, my parents used to make me read the Bible, and you guys love it. And I tried to get away from that, and here you guys are doing it here. And no one's forcing you. You guys love to read the Bible. And I said, another thing, and they constantly talked about sin they were fighting. And they talked about how they were doing things they didn't want to do. And they said, guys, help. They'd kind of confess their sins to one another and say, hey, help me not do this anymore. And they talked about how they love Jesus. I was like, these guys are different. I didn't have a category for these type of Christians. And so for about 6 months or so, on Wednesday nights, I'd go to this Bible study, and I'd kind of hang out with these guys that were really different. And then on the weekends, I would hang out with the football players that I did everything with, that I partied with, that I looked just like. And so I kind of lived this double life for a while. And as I lived this double life, you know, being, you know, hanging out with these guys who love the Bible, love Jesus, and then hanging out with my football friends on the weekend, I started to be convicted by that. I started to wonder, what am I going to be? How am I going to really be a Christian? And around that time, I had a leader in this college ministry come up to me and say, Joe, we've been praying for a guy on the football team who could witness to other football players. And we think you might be that guy. And I'm going, oh, no. You've got the wrong guy. I mean, you don't want me. You don't know what I'm like on Friday nights. You don't know how I really am. You just see this one side of me. And I didn't tell him that. But as he was saying, we want you to reach out to football players, I was just feeling so convicted, so just troubled in my heart, knowing I've just been so fake for so long. I just couldn't even imagine doing that. And I really think the Lord used that to show me how much of a sinner I was and how the lie I had been living. And I think I realized, maybe for the first time ever, that I was a great sinner and that Jesus died for me, and I had just been living in such a way that completely rejected Jesus. Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, you could say, if Jesus said, if anyone wishes to be a Christian, he says this, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And if you think about that, when Jesus said that to the people, to the people of his day, how they would have heard that. So Jesus said, if anyone wishes to be a follower of Christ, he must deny himself and take up his cross. So when we think of cross, we automatically think of Jesus dying on the cross. But this was before then. And so when these people would have heard cross, they would have thought, that's the way the Roman soldiers kill people. They would have thought, Jesus, why are you talking about that? Why would you bring up, take up your cross? What Jesus was saying is that you have to be ready to die for me. You have to follow me so much that I become your complete life, that you're willing to give up everything to follow me. And see, that's what I think at that point, when I was, I think, 20 years old, and I was so convicted of my sin that I said, Lord, I have to follow you. I have to become, I'm going to become serious about my faith. I got to follow you. I need to start really being a Christian. And at the time, I had thought, well, I was always a Christian. I've been a Christian my entire life. I've just always been a Christian. And now I'm going to get serious. Now I'm going to really be serious about it. And so that's what I thought at first. And I'll tell you, at that point in my life, I began looking around on the football team at MSU. And I remember thinking, I don't think there's one other Christian on this football team. I just remember thinking about all the guys going, there's no one here who even says they're a Christian. I mean, there wasn't. I just didn't think there was anyone who knew Christ. And so my heart began to be burdened for the lost people. For the first time, I began to think about my teammates as, do they know Christ? Where are they going to be when they die? Where are they going to be? Where will they spend eternity? Do they know Christ? And for the first time in my life, I was concerned about other people and where they would go after they die. And so I knew that, okay, I know the truth. I grew up going to church. I know how people have to believe in Jesus to be saved. So maybe God has put me here to tell some of these people about Jesus. And so I started with the help of some other Christian leaders on campus of MSU. We started a Bible study. And I started doing things that I would have never done before. I remember I created these little flyers with a Bible study, and I began passing them out to all of these guys on the team saying, hey, come to this Bible study, come to this Bible study. And it was kind of like suicide for my social status on the team, because all of a sudden these guys are like, what? You want us to come to a Bible study? You know, what is this about? And so it was weird. I lost friends over it. As I became more and more excited about the Bible and studying what God had said and trying to obey that, I remember people coming up to me and saying, Joe, you used to be a lot more fun when you used to drink with us, and now you're not that fun anymore. And so I was like losing friends. But at the time, I didn't care because I was more concerned about people coming to know Jesus and following Jesus and ultimately where they were going to spend eternal life. And so then I began to think about my first couple years of after having this series of where I thought I was just going to become serious about my Christian faith, I began to realize, what does it mean to be a Christian? I began to think about this. What does it mean to be a real Christian? And because I had, when I began to share the gospel with my friends on the team, many of them, I said, okay, guys, this is how you become a Christian. You need to pray a prayer. So I would explain something to them, and then I'd say, okay, now pray this prayer. And a couple of my friends did that on the football team. And I was like, great, God, you guys, you're going to join our Bible study now, and you're Christians now. And I was really excited about that. But I began to see the same thing happen over and over again, is that someone would make like sort of a commitment or a decision to follow Jesus. But then I'd watch their life, and they'd stop wanting to hang out, and they'd stop answering my texts, or they would stop coming to Bible study. And then they'd go right back to the way they always lived. And I'm going to say, what's going on? Why is this not, why are they not wanting to walk with Jesus the way I do and the way that other people at the Bible study do? And so I began to wrestle with this. And then I just began to read the Bible. I studied the Bible and the Bible said about knowing Christ and being a Christian. And then I began to read old books about what it means to be a Christian. And this is what I came to discover. Jesus says in Matthew 7 that you'll know a true Christian by their life. He says you'll know them by their fruits. And that really struck me. That, okay, you'll know a Christian by their life and how they live and the fruit of their life. And so I began to look at some of the people around me that said they were Christians and think, are they really a Christian? I mean, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. But some of these people around me don't look like that. And then I began to think about my own life. And I said, for all those years, I was trying to do all these, I was just really living however I wanted, but going to church. And was I really a Christian for all those years? Was I really a Christian? And I came to the conclusion that No, I wasn't. I was just fake all those years. And this is what the Bible teaches over and over again about what it means to be a Christian. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is a Christian, he's a new creation. It says the old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. And see, that's what happened when I, in my sophomore year at MSU, I used to love things about myself. I used to love all the wrong things. And I didn't love going to church, and I didn't love reading my Bible. But then what I realized is I came to faith. I came to Christ. And I began to love reading the Bible. And those old sins that I used to love to do, I began to hate those things. And even when I still did them, I'd be so burdened about it. I'd go, oh, why did I do that again? And see, the Lord had so worked in my heart that he had changed me on the inside. And so the scriptures, or Jesus himself calls that being born again, being recreated on the inside. And that's what the scriptures teach about being a real Christian. And that's what I realized came to happen to me at age 20. Even though I grew up in the church, I've prayed many prayers. And so that's why whenever I get a chance to speak with young people in church, knowing that many of you grow up around this stuff, your parents ask you to come, I know that many of you are probably in that same group as I was, that you come here because you want to obey your parents. But that doesn't mean you're necessarily a true Christian yet. You see, no one is born a true Christian. No one is born a true Christian. You have to become a Christian. And becoming a Christian means that you've believed that Jesus died for you, that Jesus was a man who lived, and that he was actually God, and that Jesus, as both God and man, lived a perfect life, and that he died for sinners like you and me. And so being a Christian means you so believe that, that you're willing to follow Christ no matter what it costs. That you realize that Jesus is my Savior and he's my King, and so I'm going to follow him. And so that's what it means to be a Christian, but only that's a work of God in your heart. And so we watch your life and say, does your life reflect that you know Christ? And really that's something that you must ask yourself. Does my life reflect that I know Christ? And so that's what I want you guys to think about tonight. It's just maybe thinking back to that fool's gold. Are you a Christian that's a real Christian? Are you a fake Christian? Or maybe you know that you're not a Christian. And not just say, that's okay. But just know that you can't fake it before the Lord. That there's no such thing as a fake Christian in reality. There's only true Christians and lost people, non-Christians. And so I hope that you'll think about yourself and say, have I truly believed? And have I truly given my life to following Christ? And I think at your age, that'll reflect itself in how you listen to your parents, how you obey, the desires of your heart. Do you really want to obey Jesus and follow him because he's your Lord and Savior? And so with that, maybe I'll pray, and we'll close it from there. Lord, I just pray for these students. I just think of, in our day and age, there's so much confusion about what it means to be a true Christian, and so many churches that teach unhelpful, confusing things upon the matter, Lord. And so I just pray for these students, Lord. I pray that they would think seriously about their own hearts and their own souls. Lord, we know that every man in us has only one life to live. We only have one life. And at the end of this life, we'll be judged, Lord. You will judge us. And so, Lord, we just pray on that day that we would all be found in Christ, that Jesus would say, yes, I've forgiven that one. Lord, I just pray that there wouldn't be anyone here who's confused about their own salvation, confused about where they stand before you. So, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to these students. I pray that even as they go to bed tonight, that some of them, if they're wrongly assuming that they're a Christian, would you speak to them through your word in their hearts to reveal to them that they must repent, that they must turn to Christ, that they must begin following Christ and believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven that they have, and that they must believe in him so much so that they'll follow him for the rest of their lives. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd work in their hearts to draw them to yourself, Lord. And then I pray for the Christians here, those who truly know you. I pray that by their life and how they walk, I pray that as they obey you, that they would grow in their confidence knowing that, yes, I do know Christ. My life does demonstrate that I am a Christian. So would you encourage those who truly do know you here tonight, Lord? And so we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.